is from thy Father's hand. One by one the days and moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in speech now, we pray, Lord, that it's your words and not our own. Help our hearts and minds to be open and receptive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. For the text today, I have taken the Old Testament lesson, which is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 1 or 5 through 10. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength or his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see in this portion of Scripture, Jeremiah is preaching to the Israelites as well as to us. And Jeremiah has been known as the weeping prophet. He's the one that went through life, and the Israelites would not listen to him, and they did many, many evil things to him, and they tried to get rid of him so he would quit preaching the Word of God and quit giving the warning that God had given him. And now when he comes to this portion of Scripture, if you will notice that Jeremiah does not come to him and say, I am going to tell you what God says. He says, thus says the Lord. And he says, if you want to listen, you have to realize it is God speaking and not me, myself. And we see this so plainly at the beginning of verse 5. Thus says the Lord. The Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who trusts that man has done the best for him. And we see that trusting, the question then would come to each one of us. Who do we trust in? Or what do we trust in? And then we could ask ourselves, why are we here to trust in anything or anybody? And we would find that God has says, we want you to trust in Jesus Christ, the one that I have sent into the world to die on the cross and to die for your sins and to cover your sins with his blood as it ran down from the cross and covered you. And Jesus died for the sins of the world. And so when we look and we say, man trusts in man, we can turn around and we look even at Psalm number 1, and we see the psalmist there is almost identical to this. And he says, we will not stand in the counsel of the ungodly, and the sinner will not stand, because he is going against the will of God. He's going against what God has told him and showed him what has to be done in his life. And so we see also that the cursing of this cursed is the man that trusts in man is the one that we have they have rejected Christ, and they're saying man can do it all. And we see that in many, many cases in the world today. And we see that God is giving this warning then, not only to the Israelites, but to us also. And if we were to look into Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 15 through 26, we would find that each of those verses start out, and this is God's law to the Israelites, and it is something for us to study and to read too. It says, cursed is the man. Cursed is the person who trusts in his own strength. And each one of those same verses ends with amen. And as God is saying, this is what will happen if you trust in man and not in God and not in Jesus Christ. And he is saying, it will be so. And I am saying amen to it. And he tells us that we have to turn to Christ ourselves today. Back in the days of Jeremiah, they were told to turn to God and trust in God above all things. And then, you know, Jeremiah goes on and he says, and if he makes the flesh his strength or his arm, and his heart departs from the Lord. We see this man has rejected everything God has given. And God told Jeremiah, when Jeremiah says that he didn't want to come out and preach, God says, I have chosen you even before you were formed in the womb, even before you were formed in the belly of the earth, he says. I have chosen you before you had any parts, and you are the one that I am sending forth to proclaim the gospel or the message of serving God to the Israelites. And he's telling us that today, as we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we see that God gives ample warning to all of those who refuse to follow him. And we see that it is so great of a warning that God tells us that if we don't follow him, we will have eternal damnation in hell because we have rejected to follow Christ, and that we have rejected God and his word. And you know, if we were to go back into Daniel, even when Daniel took and told Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of his dream, and he says, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this is talking about you. And he says, you know, you have been in want because you think you have done all these things by yourself. And God has given you the authority, and he has helped you to build your kingdom. And now you have taken it upon yourself to think that you are the Almighty and that no one is better than you. And he says in Daniel 4:27, he says, therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Now, you've got to realize Daniel was taken a prisoner in the beginning, and he had showed that God was with him, interpreting dreams and the things that was going to happen. And he tells the king this. He says, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. And he's telling the king, you know, the time is going to come because you do not acknowledge God as first, that you will be punished. And you know, the Babylon was taken away from him, and he went for 7 years as a animal out in the desert or out in the pasture before he came back to his senses. And he says, there is only one God, and that's the God that Daniel talks about. And I make a proclamation that we serve that God. And you see, it took him that long then to get in to realize that God is almighty and he's the one that directs our steps and directs our path each step of the way. And then he goes on in this whole passage, and Jeremiah is telling him, you know, if you reject Christ, you're going to be like a shrub or a tumbleweed out there in the desert, down by the Dead Sea where nothing can grow and nothing is wanted. And you wouldn't see when good was coming to you anyhow, because you have rejected Christ and because you have rejected what God has said would happen. And God tells us, you know, in Isaiah 30, he says, woe to the rebellious children. And Isaiah is very strong as he goes on in there, and he tells them, he says, woe to those who go down to Egypt, because Egypt was a great country, and these people were going there, and they wanted to be friends with Egypt, so they figured Egypt would protect them. And yet God says, you know, you go down there because they are great, and they have a great army, and they have great horses, and they have chariots, and there are many, and so you go to them to be strong because you think they're strong. He says, you go down to Egypt for help, and you rely on the horses and you trust in their chariots because they are many. And you think you can win everything like that. And in the horses, because they are strong and they have strength. And if you've been on the farm and raised horses or worked around horses, when I was a child, we had what we called work horses, and they were, ours were half scrubs, I guess you'd call it, and half Belgium. And the horses would pull for all they were worth and show their strength in all that you would have them do. And you would think, boy, this is great. Look what I can do with these horses or with these chariots. And God is saying, that's man's way of thinking. And then he goes on in Isaiah 31, and in verse 3, he tells us, now the Egyptians are men and not God. That you are trusting in man only and not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. You see, the Spirit of God can move about the whole face of the earth at any time and be in any place all at the same time. And the Spirit of God can move our hearts and our lives. And the Spirit of God is what moves us to make us realize that Jesus came into the world so that we could be blessed and that we could have the forgiveness of sins because we trust in him. And then as it goes on and it says, so the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble. That would be the Egyptians in this particular case in Isaiah. And he who is helped will fall. And all of them will come to an end together. God says you cannot do it in your own strength. You have to do it in my strength and in my power. And then he goes on to say here in Isaiah, he talks about the heart. You know, whose heart departs from the Lord. And we see so many times, even in life today, how man is taking and wanting to do his own thing. And he goes about his own way. And we see that man is seeking pleasure for himself in the world today. And we look at the economy in the United States and throughout the world, and we say, what's going to happen? You know, the hearts are failing man because of the things coming upon the face of the earth. And we look back in the economy situation of some years ago, and we see how many of these people invested their money because they were told they would make great strides and great riches. And we had people like Bernie Madoff, who took millions of dollars from people, and he told other people, he says, you'll get your principal back plus interest in a very short time. And he never invested any of it, but he was taking from one and giving back to another, trying to make them want to invest more. And he ended up in jail, and these people lost much of their possessions and many, many thousands and millions of dollars that had been invested through him. And now today we see the investments of silver and gold, and we see these advertisements, put your dollars in silver or gold, or put your possessions here, and you know the government can't touch you, and you can have all of this for yourself. And it's the world coming in at you trying to show you the great pleasures you're supposed to be able to have for yourself, and they talk as if you're going to live forever. And yet God says, hold on, I am in charge. And he tells us, if your heart is for man and your trust and your riches are in the world, you will surely die, and you will surely die spiritually and not only physically. And then we see that Jesus dealt with the young rich ruler, and this man was rich, and he wanted to know, he says, how else? What else do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus says, sell all you got and give to the poor. And this man went away sorrowful because he had many riches. And that's not telling us to sell everything we got and give to the poor, but it is telling us to have Christ first in our lives and in our hearts and to follow what he tells us to do. I knew a family, a farmer family, and the kids were waiting. I don't say they were waiting, but they knew or felt when their parents passed away that they would receive much riches in dollars and land. And when before they died, they sold their land to part of it to one of their children. And the children felt that they had a lot of money in the bank. And so when they died, they found out. The children found out. This husband and wife lived about a year. The one lived about a year longer than the other one. They found out they didn't have anything. They were broke. And they had given all of their money, what they had extra, what they didn't need to live on. They were giving it away. They'd given it to the AFLC, to the Bible school. They'd helped the seminary. And they were putting kids through Bible school. And when you think about it, our Bible school, I didn't announce it earlier, but we have campus days on the 18th through the 20th of October this year. And it's for kids in the juniors and seniors in high school to go down and look at the Bible school and see if they want to go. But this husband and wife had put many kids through Bible school and helped with the seminary because they wanted to spread the Word of God. And to them, it was the more important for them to spread the Word of God than to have riches in the bank for themselves. And the kids, I think there was maybe one of them or maybe two of them that felt they had been cheated, but the others said, praise the Lord. They gave their money to spread the kingdom of God, and they gave their riches, and they only kept what they needed for themselves. As Jesus would say, you know, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you need will be added unto you. And so we see that's what happened there. And as we go on here in Scripture, we see that these people would not see when evil comes upon them. Then we go into verse 7 and 8, and it tells us, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters and spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And we see that so plainly, and God tells us, remember the first commandment as we look at the commandments in confirmation now, and we say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what does this mean? God tells us in Exodus 30 or 20, he says, you shall not make for yourself any image. graven image of anything in the heavens above or on the earth or in the sea or under the earth. I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God, and I will visit the iniquities of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, and I will give mercy to the thousands of those unto their generations of those that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And therefore do we as Christians, we say we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and I have the Holy Spirit living in my heart, and I have the Holy Spirit leading me. Then do we turn around and say, you know, I have to see what I can get for myself? Or are we saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, help me that I may serve you and be bold for you. You know, it tells us this, that we would serve Christ then and have him first in all things. And Jesus tells us, even on the Sermon on the Mount, where he told us that no one can serve two masters, for we will love the one and hate the other, or we'll be loyal to the one and we'll despise the other. And if you have more than one job, you would find many times that this is exactly what's happening. You have the second job maybe just to make what you feel you need for ends meeting, or to take and set your something away for something you might want. You know, what do we need, or what do we have or need of the things in this world that takes first place in our hearts? I would hope that we have nothing but Jesus Christ in our heart and in our lives, and that includes myself, not setting anything else first. Proverbs 11:28 tells us, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. And that's what Psalm 1 tells us too, as well as here. It tells us that we will flourish, and that we will be like the tree planted by the river of water, and we don't have to worry about the heat or the drought, because Christ will take care of each one of us. And that as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we will find that God will continue blessing us, and that he will help us as we trust in him above all things. And as we would go on to verses 7 and 8 and 9, as we see even before that, when Moses brought the people out of Egypt, God told the Israelites, he says, did I not take care of you these 40 years? He says, you know, your shoes never wore out, and your clothes never wore out, and I fed you, and your feet never swelled up, and I fed you up until we got you into the promised land, and I fed you until you got your own crops and your own things there where you could work for yourselves, but I took good care of you and gave you health and gave you that you didn't need new clothing or anything like that, but I fed you daily and I protected you from all your enemies. And trusting in God then is living a blessed life, a life in which we can know that God's blessing is upon us and God watches over us. Whether we're traveling near or far, it doesn't matter. But if we trust in Christ and in him alone, we will find that we are like those trees planted by the river of water, and our roots will suck out the life in which Christ wants us to have, and we will flourish, and we will not be worried about the things coming on the daily things of the world. And we can see even in life today that the people are so concerned about the things going on in the world, and they're so scared of what's happening, and they're trying their best man's way to save this planet and to save the people, and they're trying everything they can, and they're finding that as they try and solve one problem, another one rises, because they're trusting in themselves and themselves only and not in what Christ Jesus can do for us. Then we see, too, as we would only realize. And as we've seen on the InterVarsity, you know, they go onto the campuses, and these people don't know the Word of God. And so they have to try and show them, this is what the Word of God says, and this is why we want you to trust the Word of God above what you feel and think, because this is what we have to live by, and this is what we're going to be judged by in life when we come before that throne judgment in heaven. And when God calls us out of this world, He has told us, you know, that we have an appointed time with death, and then the judgment comes upon us. And we see then, too, that in Isaiah, even He tells us of the riches and the blessings of the righteous. In Isaiah 30:18, He tells us, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. You see, we wait on Christ, and we ask Christ to guide us and to keep us in all things. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us very, very plainly what happens to both those that refuse to follow Christ and those that follow Christ. We are appointed unto death once to die. The evil man that believes only in himself and trusts in himself will come to the end of his life. And so will the man that trusts in God. He'll come to the end of his life, and they both die. But in the judgment, the one that lived for himself and lived rejecting God and rejecting Jesus Christ, he will hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And those that accepted Christ and had Christ living in their heart and their life, and they were living for the Lord, he'll hear them say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." What a difference it will be for those people. You see, in Revelation, even as if you were to study Revelation and go there, God warns us many times of what's going to happen. And to those who don't want to live for God, He says, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and the hearts." And it tells us, too, God looks on the intent of the heart and the intent of the mind and the intent of the thought. "And I will give to each one of you according to your work." So, you know, we see there so plainly that we serve God and we will be blessed. If we serve ourselves and serve man only, we will be condemned. And then we would go into Romans. We could go into Romans and we could spend a lot of time there. But there it tells us that we will see God rendering to each one the deeds that has been done in their lives. And we see, too, that eternal life is to those who are patiently continue living and doing and seeking the good and glory and honor and immortality of Christ. But those who are self-seeking, it tells us, seeking and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, indignation, they have indignation and wrath coming upon them. And then God tells us, you know, remember, Jesus says, what is the greatest commandment? Today we read, the greatest commandment is this, that we should love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul, our complete being, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, the first and second commandment, and that God will give us the gifts that we need to serve Him. And yes, as living in these sinful bodies, we still request and ask God to forgive us of our sins that may have been committed unintentionally each day. but that he will help us to live for him, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim as we live for him each day, and we will see that God is with us and leading us, and we may not always seem like we feel it, but we know because we trust in Christ and what he's done on Calvary's cross for us, that he has not only crucified, risen again, and is now in heaven making intercession for us, we can know, we can have that trust above all things in him, and God will take care of us even if the world around us comes in and caves in on us. We still have that inner peace that's spiritual, that gives us peace of heart and peace of mind, knowing that when God calls us out of this world, we will be in eternity with him in heaven, and we will be able to not only praise him and thank him, but we will throw all our rewards and all our crowns at his feet and say, thank you, Lord God, for all the mercy you have given me throughout my life and bringing me into eternal salvation and eternal bliss with you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with each one of us now. Keep us in your care and help us to serve you, not only today, but always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 573.